Welcome to episode 20 of the Equip Podcast. This is your host, Greg Hudson. This is an end of the year podcast edition. I was really hoping to have a Christmas edition about Christmas outreach, but the busyness of life took over and I wasn't able to get that together. So stay tuned. 12 months from now, we'll try to do that. But on today's episode, I wanted you to have something to listen to as maybe you're traveling over the holidays and you need something to listen to in the car. Today's episode contains just a couple of short clips from some of the seminars given at the recent EC3 Evangelism Conference. We talked about that conference on episode 15 of this podcast. So at some of the seminars, I recorded some of the things that were said. And I want to just remind you, these were recorded in a big room, and so the sound is not great. But I wanted to share just a few minutes of these powerful messages. I understand that the full recordings of these seminars are supposed to be available at some point on the Adventist Learning Community. And I also know that many of the EC3 presenters were interviewed for a EC3 podcast with Nelson Fernandez, which will be coming out, I believe, next year. It should be full of great information, so I know that you won't want to miss it. First clip is just a short clip from Pastor Anthony Wagoner Smith of the LifeSpring Church in Florida, a church that he has been planting and has some really neat things going on down there. And his seminar was about getting people involved in the life of the church, exactly what this podcast is all about. As you listen, I want you to consider your cell phone and see how it matches up with what he has to say.
The key to me is that we demonstrate a missional lifestyle in our life. So that's one of the things I say. If someone says, hey, we want to plant a church, I say, that's great. Show me your cell phone. I'm coming to you, sister. I'm sorry. I call it the cell phone test. And about 10 years ago, when I was pastoring a district, I woke up on a Sunday morning and I looked at the contacts on my cell phone list, and it occurred to me that pretty much everyone on there is a Christian. If not an Adventist, a Methodist, Baptist, non-denominational neighbor, I don't have one name of a non-Christian. I have names of non-Christians on myself, and those that are actually close with, that I hang out with and do life together. This is insane. I am a spiritual leader in a church, and I'm telling my church to live on mission. What am I doing? I'm a hypocrite. I read my Bible, I have devotions, I love Jesus, I love the church, but I'm not living like I should be living. And so God really struck me with conviction. Say struck, that sounds a little strong, but I had a strong sense of conviction and repentance. And as a result of that, my whole ministry changed. I started opening up doors, planting churches, and then getting that. So all of us have to demonstrate that, and that never goes away regardless of our job and the position that we hold.
The second clip is a little bit longer, and it is from Ty Gibson, director of Light Bearers Ministry and a pastor of the Storyline Church. This was perhaps my favorite seminar of the EC3 conference, and this was an hour-long seminar of just solid gold, but this is just a couple-minute look at the great need in the Adventist Church of continually preaching of the great love of Jesus. Listen to Ty Gibson.
And a series of theological doctrinal discoveries were made. I'm not going to delineate them. We've got the Sabbath, the state of the dead, second coming, etc., etc. Now check this out. Adventism born to get something done in the world. To repaint the character of God in an attractive light for people. Adventism, very early in its history, according to the prophet among us, as early as 1852, from 1844 to 1852, Ellen White began to make what will then become a career of diagnostic statements. And this, in 1852, Ellen White says, wait a minute, the words addressed to the Laodicean church describe there, that is, the Advent movement's present condition perfectly. Now, we have tended to define the Laodicean condition as just spiritual laziness or something, just going to church and going through the motions, etc., etc. And we think by good moralizing sermons or pep talks we can wake people up. Our church doesn't need any more moralizing. Amen. Our church doesn't need any more pep talks. Amen. We don't just need a lot of fire coming from pulpits to make people feel more guilty so that we can make them do what we think or know they ought to do. Adventism needs the gospel. Amen. Adventism needs to be completely reframed in the light of the love of God in Christ. Ellen White didn't see the Laodicean condition as spiritual lethargy. She specifically defined the Laodicean condition as a condition of doctrinal arrogance that removes from our understanding the gospel as the central running theme in Adventist theology. From 1852, just rushing forward to 1890, Ellen White wrote one of the most remarkable articles of her prophetic career in Review and Herald, December 23, 1890, and she opened the article, opening sentence, "The Lord has seen our backslidings and has a controversy with his people." She goes on to explain that when she is saying that we as a people were backsliding, she's not talking about backsliding into, you know, eating cheese and wearing short dresses. That's not her context. She's not saying God has a controversy with our music styles. That's not her context. She's saying that God, the creator of the universe, is at theological odds with Adventism. God has a controversy with Adventism on a doctrinal level. And the Laodicean condition is defined by an arrogant imagining that we've got the truth, and what the world needs and what the church needs is just to turn up the volume on what we're already saying. But according to Ellen White, it's not just a matter of praying for the outpouring of the latter rain and God. The reason, have you ever wondered, why do we keep praying for the latter rain, having Holy Spirit seminars, and it never comes? Could it be because God has a fundamental content problem with us? God's not going to turn the volume up on us theologically. He doesn't want the world converted to what we are. He's not interested in us encompassing sea and land and making people twice more the child of hell than we are ourselves. The fact is that Adventism is at theological odds with the God of the universe. We don't share God's theology. If we can even wrap our minds around that, that's her context. She closes this article with a statement that I'll bring to you in just a moment. But let's continue looking at our history. She made a number of diagnostic statements, and again, I'm going to emphasize, this is our prophet, people. This is the prophetic voice among us. I didn't make any of this up. This is what the inspired voice was saying to us, and if we're willing to listen, it's still saying to us, because we have grounded ourselves as a people systemically and organizationally in the very thing that the prophetic voice condemned. Now watch this. Diagnostic statement number one. She said, watch her nuance here. "The truth for this time is broad." It is. It is broad in its outline, far-reaching, embracing many doctrines. At which point, we think the prophet's patting us on the back and saying, we've got the truth. It does, she says, embrace many doctrines. But, so it's a qualifying statement. But these doctrines are not something. They're not detached items, which mean little. They are united by golden threads, forming a complete whole with Christ as the living center. Do you see what she's saying here? She will repeat this until her death from multiple different angles. At one point, she spoke to the brethren gathered together as ministers and evangelists, and she said, her language not mine, that we had fallen into the rut of legal religion. And the rut of legal religion, according to her, is this intellectual and behavioral religion that has the right language, but is essentially another form of self-help paganism or secularism in a Christian garb.
Wow.
There are really only two religions in the world. Only two. There is righteousness by faith that works by love in Christ alone. and there's everything else in a multitude of different configurations that centers the focus of the people on themselves to get their act together and thereby earn the latter rain. Earn God's favor, earn salvation. She's saying, wait a minute, yeah, we have many doctrines. But those doctrines are not detached items. What does that mean, detached items? They're not a list of free-floating doctrinal points that don't bear relation one to another. It's a picture. It's a cohesive whole, and Christ is a living center. On the one hand, diagnostic statement number two, let this just blow your socks off and plaster them against the far wall. On the one hand, religionists generally have divorced the law from the gospel. We call that antinomianism, and it's a problem. But she's not railing against the antinomians. Religionists generally have divorced the law from the gospel, while we, Adventists, have, on the other hand, almost done the same from another standpoint. What have we done? They've done that. What have we done? We have not held up before the people the righteousness of Christ and the full significance of the great plan of redemption. We have left out Christ and his matchless love. And what have we put in its place? We brought in theories and reasonings, and we have preached a certain kind, a certain style of sermons. She called them argumentative discourses. She will go on through her ministry from various angles to negate this evangelistic style as something that is actually, in her perception, convinced the world that we have nothing to offer except arguments of we're right, you're wrong, join us.
Our final clip is from James Emery White, and he is talking about the challenge of reaching a new generation with the gospel of Christ, where sometimes the older generation doesn't appreciate it. He is a pastor of the Mecklenburg Community Church in North Carolina. He's the author of many books, including Rise of the Nuns, which is a great book, and soon to be released, Meet Generation Z, which I am personally looking forward to, and we will likely review it on this podcast. And I hesitate to even play this because it was recorded in a large church and the sound is not great, but it's only about 2 minutes long. So hopefully you'll be able to listen and to learn.
And another thing too is that if we have indicted the church because we've said it has a consumer mentality, one of the criticisms of the contemporary approach to ministry is that somehow, some way, we're selling out orthodoxy to get more bodies. No. Where consumerism has taken over the church is where we make the needs of the already convinced the number one consumer position, and that prevents us from making the change that we need. We need to die to ourselves. Die ourselves in order to reach others. And if there's one of the hallmarks of math is that for all these years, I can make that our DNA. And you know, I've got three big headlines, three big words I tell people all the time. Or four, sorry. It's not about you. Someone says music's too loud. It's not that loud. I don't like music, it's not about you. Well, I don't want to park that far or have a service at another time, or I don't want to give up my seat, or I don't want to drive. It's not about you. When did it become about you? It's about the person who isn't even here yet.
Yes.
In fact, it was so not about him that even when he was on the cross, Jesus was working to save one more. So that dying to ourselves is what we have to get back to. And so this spiritual narcissism, this I need my mentality, but the church insists to meet my needs, and it's all about where I'm fed and all that. I have zero patience for it. The average Christian could not be fed another day of their life and still not obey what they've already got. And you know, I also teach Paul's metaphor, how disgusting, I mean, not Paul, but Hebrews, who's a beast of the but, how disgusting is it to think of a 35-year-old man sucking on a milk bottle?
Yep.
He says, you want to be fed, you should be eating meat yourself.
Yes.
And cutting it up and doing it yourself. But you're like a baby with a milk bottle, and the writer makes it sound disgusting, and it should be. So this whole idea of spiritual narcissism is killing our churches. And the main thing that I would say to you as a pastor and other pastors is get a backbone.
Amen.
And confront it.
Yes.
And teach on it, and challenge it, and in the best sense of the word, shame people over it.
Yes. Thank you for listening to the Equip Podcast. Stay tuned as we all move into the year 2017. We already have several guests lined up, from Adventist media speakers to lay people to pastors of churches big and small. And as we have new episodes of the Equip Podcast, it's with one goal in mind: getting everyone involved in ministry, getting everyone involved in sharing their faith in Jesus. If you have any questions or comments, please pass them along at equippodcast@gmail.com. And please check out our website at equippodcast.wordpress.com. It will have links to some of the things that we talked about. Remember, we want to tell the world about Jesus, and you can.